141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for one of the best weekends in the Scottish football calendar. It is Scottish Cup fourth round weekend with holders Celtic welcoming Kilmarnock. That's amid speculation around the likes of Valle, Kyogo, Tierney and more. Rangers will host Fraserburgh with Ross McCausland likening Clinton Insiala to Virgil van Dijk. Clyde Bank go to Hibs, Aberdeen head to Elgin and a whole lot more to be previewed in the company of Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, Kilmarnock did Celtic for the treble last season by knocking them out of the League Cup at Rugby Park. They could do the same tomorrow at Celtic Park, although that's a much harder task. But after Celtic's performance at Dundee on Tuesday night, anything is possible. And as for Clinton Insiala being like Virgil van Dijk, I'm not going to contradict Ross McCausland, but I am going to say, what a pity that Philippe Clement left them out of his European squad, because he can't play against Man U Old Trafford and he would have been very welcome there.
Good weekend to look forward to. I don't know if this is where you rub it into the teams that are not in the cup anymore, so apologies on that to those who are not. But as a neutral pundit,
yes,
observer, are you excited about the weekend ahead?
I think Aberdeen away to Elgin is going to be a real tricky one. Elgin were actually the team that put us at Kelty out the cup in the previous round, so that could be a potential banana skin, especially off the back of Aberdeen's performances, and Clyde Bank with a great trip to Hibs will obviously enjoy the experience.
Yeah, so much to look forward to. You want to get stuck right into the cup stuff this evening ahead of the games? Let's do it. 01419511025. Your thoughts on the games in general. Clyde Bank fans, I'd love to hear from you. You know we've got one in the studio. You know Shug would be there if he wasn't obliged to be in here with us tomorrow afternoon. He's looking forward to it. Are you heading to Easter Road? 2000 Clyde Bank fans, so surely we can find a couple to join us on the phones. We're going to speak to your manager at live on the show a bit later on. Any Fraserburgh fans? Listen, you say that, I was like a challenge. This would, I think, be the first time on Clyde One Super Scoreboard any Fraserburgh fans want to give us a call ahead of your trip to Ibrox.
All the Celtic fans would be Fraserburgh fans.
Well, there is that, of course. I mean, real, legitimate Fraserburgh fans. That's on the game itself. We've got some Premiership ties, like Motherwell heading to St Johnston, big crowd heading there as well, and various others. So you want to talk about the games themselves, do that. Of course, though, there are plenty of other big stories doing the rounds. Philippe Clement spoke today. Brendan Rodgers spoke today. The transfer window is very much open. Alex Valle is a Celtic player for now, and Brendan Rodgers, keeping his cards close to his chest, doesn't think there's anything imminent in terms of that changing. What are you reading into that situation? Is it a case of if Tierney comes, Valle goes and all that sort of stuff? Is that the way the jigsaw would work? Give us your thoughts, Celtic fans, on all the transfer speculation. Or indeed, if you do think that tomorrow is a tie that carries a little bit of jeopardy, it could have been a lot easier than Kilmarnock coming to Celtic Park in the fourth round. So get your calls in there, please. Rangers fans, Philippe Clement talking about maybe moving some on and before bringing players in. So who would you like to see leave? What's the right time? Or who are the right players to leave at this time, if you like? You look at players like Cyril Dessers maybe, and Kieran Dowell and others that have been mentioned, Rabbi Matondo. How would you trim that squad, Rangers fans, at this moment in time? Realistically, though, it's all right saying get rid of them all, but clearly that's not going to happen. So transfer windows open, speculation, rumour, your wish lists, Scottish Cup games this weekend, and anything else you want to share, do it right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. You cannot beat this weekend, Hugh Keevans.
No, and I look back on the recent days, Celtic at Dundee on Tuesday, Rangers Aberdeen Wednesday, and I think of a Premiership that makes no sense at all. I praise Celtic for their display at Dingwall. I said it was Kyogo's best game of the season, and so on and so forth. Kyogo could hold his head high after playing at Dundee, but not so much the rest of them. And then you go on to the Rangers-Aberdeen game, where Rangers did what they should have done against a poor team and took care of them. Now the time has come. We've had a laugh about Aberdeen. Oh, they didn't lose any of their first 11 games, and then they didn't win any of the next 11 games. But I think it's genuinely time to ask what is going on there. And if they have a Scottish Cup slip-up, Jimmy Tilleen is bang in trouble.
Yes, another big story. Could you really see a shock there? Aberdeen heading to Elgin.
Well, it gives you Darvo. And they have that in their recent past.
It's a difficult game for Aberdeen this time.
I bet they're looking forward to it a lot less than they were, at least. Even if you won't go as far as to say that there's a shock in the cards, the difference in mood around that one, maybe since the draw was made as an example, will be quite stark.
Yeah, naturally, I think as a player, you'll maybe look at it with a little bit of trepidation, and how you start the game is going to be really important for Aberdeen. But it is a difficult place to go. They have played well this season, Elgin. A lot of, obviously, I know quite a bit about them. There has a bit of quality on their side, so it is a tricky game for Aberdeen. I can't believe Hugh's not mentioned the fact Yang scored the other night and how delighted he was with
his
favourite player.
Come on now, let's not start. Good luck to him. He scored the goal, but once again his performance was, I'll say, underwhelming, and I won't go into it any more deeply than that.
Yeah,
but
remember this time last year when you said the same about Nicholas Kuhn? Now you've got him down as player of the year.
Well,
you're so fickle.
Well, exactly, I made a career out of it. But Brendan Rodgers really needs Kuhn, Maeda, Kyogo up front, and never mind the rest, because they're not up to it, and he's got a worry in his hands with Adameda. But to go back to Aberdeen, I watched them play Hearts last Sunday, and I thought they're utterly dreadful. And they came to Glasgow to play Rangers, and they were even worse. And the players that he signed are even worse than the ones that they replaced.
Right, come on then, 01419511025. That is the number you need. Call us right now if you can on whatever it is that's on your mind. Rangers fans, what about your squad rotate? Surely, Fraserburgh, with no disrespect at home, who are the youngsters you'd like to see given a chance? Is it vital that this is the opportunity for some players to get a run out? Philippe Clement was quite guarded on that today, talking about, you know, not wanting to be one of the surprises or cup shocks, and wanting to make sure there's still a fairly recognisable team out there. But who would you like to see given a chance this weekend? As I said, Fraserburgh, I'd love to hear from Fraserburgh fans if we have any listening. That can be the challenge for this evening. And what about the bigger picture? So he says that outgoings will be necessary, Philippe Clement says. Who are those? Rabbi Matondo, Kieran Dowell, Cyril Dessers. Who are the players you would like to see leave to free up a bit of space and money this window, Rangers fans? If you could answer that right now for us, please, on 01419511025. We're going to hear a bit on Oscar Cortez as well. I wonder if anyone's starting to get a bit worried, if that's the right word, because Rangers have an obligation to buy Oscar Cortez in the summer. Not cheap. And he's seeing a specialist today, I think. Another injury, we don't quite know what the full extent of it is. He's never really been able to put a run together. Is that just bad luck and that'll all sort itself out and you've got a good player in the future? Or are you starting to worry a bit about that deal, that obligation to buy? Again, same number right now if you could, 01419511025. I don't know how sincerely I can ask you the question of, does Clint Ninsiala remind you of Virgil van Dijk? As per Ross McCausland's assessment, I've seen you all having a bit of fun with it on social media. You're more than welcome to take that onto the phones
now,
as well.
On the subject of going early, and heaven knows...
Are you proud? Did you listen to that from Ross McCausland and think, that's a boy?
I thought, you've got a future in this game. But you know, let's keep calm. Virgil van Dijk is, you know, pound for pound, one of the best central defenders in the world. So give Clinton and Ciala a chance to breathe. And as I say, it's Philippe Clement's fault. He won't be at Old Trafford because Clement left him out of the European squad.
Celtic fans, it's a similar question to you on the transfer front. What do you want to see happen in that left-back area this window? Because there's been speculation about Alex Valle. Does he leave in this window and Kieran Tierney comes in? Is that the best option for you? Or is that the one that you can see happening? Brendan Rodgers saying today that he will be honest with Alex Valle if he's playing at prospects are limited. Are you like us in here? Is that Kieran Tierney related? Is that the only sort of conclusion to draw from that?
Yeah, I think if Kieran Tierney comes, then obviously Greg Taylor is your number one fullback at this moment in time. You think it would then be Kieran Tierney, and his minutes would be limited, and then he would move on. I think the fact that both of them, Faye's alone, and I think Kieran Tierney would be alone till the summer, it makes sense.
I watched them midweek, the North London derby. Came on as a sub against Spurs, and
left wing,
one or two lovely balls in, one to Kai Havertz that he should have burst the net with, but Kieran Tierney is all about the emotional reunion with the fans and the club. But Celtic have got to look beyond emotion, and they've got a Champions League that they still have to contest. And it's important they use this window to get in players in other areas of the team that are clearly in need of refurbishment.
Thank you very much. If you are about to call in, let's do it. Let's get stuck in. Ross is on the line. How's it going, Ross?
How's it going, boys?
How are you? You well?
Not bad. Good. Just listening to you now. But obviously the line-up for Rangers and the transfer window, obviously I would like to get rid of Dessers, because do you not think Dessers is a brilliant player? Fantastic player. Runs down every day. Every weekend we play, he's there if it fail. I wouldn't get rid of Dessers. I would keep Dessers.
I'm afraid, Ross, that the whole thing is about money. Because Philippe Clement has been told that players must go, as the last transfer window saw many go out, and there were gasps at the AGM when the Rangers revealed that they'd all gone for £800,000 in total.
Before we even get to that, though, because you're right, that's the reality of it. I wonder about Ross's language, Ross. Even if you think he gets a rough ride and too much criticism, fine. Are we going so far to say, you know, he's fantastic? Is that how is he out the Rangers team now then? How is he playing so much fewer minutes than he was if he's so fantastic?
Because I think that is down to the Rangers manager not putting him on.
Yeah, but Iggeman's there, isn't he, in doing a better job now?
But how is he? I mean, before we've seen Dessers go off like that, he was running his feet at it.
Well, he's doing a better job for the simple reason he scored 12 goals in his last 14 games. And Dessers is hit and miss. He's unfortunate, you know. I can't disagree with you. He's an out and out trier. However, this is about getting money for people, and if he attracts a decent offer, then he's out the door, because Philippe Clement has been told they've got to go out the door.
By the way, I think there's room for a conversation that says, I think he gets too much criticism. He's still scored 13 goals this season. He's still good to have around. Look at the goal that he scores coming on the other night. Yep. It's a very, very good goal. I just didn't expect. He's absolutely fantastic. And
I think Ross did make a good point, though. He is always available. That is a big thing, especially with the amount of games that Rangers have, obviously with the Europa League in there as well. I just think, ultimately, at this moment in time, Iggeman's that he is literally the man. He is. It's a lot of. For me, the future in him is going to be the main man. Rangers look like a different side with him in the team, and for me he's getting more quality, and sometimes it's just as simple as that.
So Ross, do you think Dessers then is he getting a rough ride from some Rangers fans? Because there was even, I don't know if was it booing, maybe not quite as much as that, but sometimes even recently when he comes on, there's a kind of strange noise comes through the Rangers fans as if they're not too excited to see him.
Definitely, aye. It's just as if they don't want him to play altogether.
I don't know if you saw that. I can't remember which game that was, because they've played so many recently, but there was one in particular, wasn't there? And once you get to that stage, it's
never good.
Awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awkward, even more awkward for the player. But I think he's actually acquitted himself really well since that. Like you say, he comes on the other night, scores a fantastic goal. But ultimately, at this moment in time, Iggeman is Rangers' best striker.
Was it actually the Aberdeen game? Was it? I know he scored, but was it that game when he came
on? It was a game a few weeks ago.
Actually, I feel like there was one more recently as well. I'm not saying the full stadium's booing, but you know what I mean, Hugh? There's a kind of, here he comes.
The rumbling, yeah. But it's quite straightforward. The booing would be directed at Philippe Clement if he ever decided to put Dessers in front of Iggeman. So it's that straightforward. He can't get the guarantee of a starting place. Therefore, he goes into the category of players who could be away in this window.
I know you like him, Ross. You've made that very clear, but if there was a scope there to bring in some money that Rangers could be doing with and then use elsewhere, would that change your mind at all?
No, but another thing I'd like to say, why is it TNT got all the Rangers games and some they don't? It's some Sky get. Why can we not bring all the Rangers games back to Sky?
Well, it's a change in direction for topic. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, you've got split TV rights, yeah. And I think it's not TNT either, is it? It's Premier do some of the league games and Sky do some. And
yeah, I feel for people.
Cyril Dessers' form.
Well, I feel for people. You know, you require to have three different pay per view channels in order to watch all of what goes on in Scottish football. However, It's a contractual matter. It's got nothing to do with the Rangers. They can't influence where their games are shown. And that's the deal. Television writes the checks.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement on Cyril Dessers, because Ross has made, I think Ross is Cyril Dessers' uncle. It's the biggest defence of Cyril Dessers I've heard in a long time, which is good because he's been getting a lot of sticks, so don't mind hearing the other side of it. The manager says that Dessers has given great support to the team despite that limited game time. He says if there becomes a point where he wants more minutes, then of course there will be a decision to make.
I've spoken with Cyril why he played less than before. Yes, and that's because of the evolution of Hamza also. So we will see what happens. Cyril is working really hard. He's doing everything. He's good in the group. He's a very good lad. He's thinking very collectively, always. He's in support of Hamza. He gave Hamza a lot of tips last couple of months also in the trainings and around games. And he showed that also. Now in the last game, the way he came in, you don't see a player who's disappointed that he's not starting, although he started a lot of games before and scored also a lot of goals. He's somebody who's there for the team. Is there a moment that he wants to play all the games? Then he needs to make a decision. If it's not the case, he's in competition with others that's playing at the top club.
Just to muddy the water slightly, Danilo is also injured now. I don't think it looks like it's particularly long term, but he's injured. Much like the Champions League, the Europa League then rumbles on during January, during the window. Aside from that, in a very general sense, you expect Dessers to be a Rangers player come the end of the window?
Yeah, I think
you do.
I think so, yeah.
Don't think it's the right time to try and...
I think that would be coloured by who comes in with what money. You know, because I go back to the point, Philippe Clement has been told by the hierarchy that some have to go for strictly financial reasons. And therefore, if someone comes in with good money for Cyril Dessers, then he'll go.
We'll get the thoughts of the listeners, hopefully. But if you would you add that same bracket, the names you've seen mentioned, Kieran Dowell, Rabbi Matondo, reports this week that they've been told that they can leave if something comes along. Philippe Clement, I think, was asked about it today. But let's just hear that answer and get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
I never speak about individual cases and names in that way, because it's always in the transfer window, it's about the right the right price for every player, that it needs to be a win-win for everybody. So we will see what's going to happen next couple of weeks. It's something that that will be necessary for the club, yes. So that's a club decision. And like it were the same decisions in the summer. That's the situation for the moment in the club to do things here.
Again, how are you supposed to predict accurately when you don't know what bids come in? But again, would that be in Rangers' best interests, those two players in particular? They won't be small earners, those two.
That is just about to touch on that. I think the fact that they'll both be on really good wages at Rangers and haven't contributed much to the team at all over the last two seasons, they would be the one there they would look to offload. But listen, it's not as easy as that. If they're happy to sit and take the money and maybe look at come summer, there's better options here, they might just do that.
It's an interesting situation he finds himself in, Philippe Clement, because if someone offers good money for a player and he would rather not lose that player from his squad, well, the Ibrox hierarchy say to him, well, I'm sorry, it's good money, you'll need to take it, we need to take it. As he said, it's the club. The club are telling him what to do now.
0141 951 1025. You want to talk January transfer rumour, speculation, whatever phrase you want to apply, let's do that. And then it's the cup this weekend as well. Still keen to hear from as many of you as possible. Where are you heading to this weekend? Which giant killing do you think is on the cards? And we will do the lot when we return after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. It's one of the best weekends of the year. Scottish Cup fourth round, where hopefully anything is possible. You can get giant killings and shocks and storylines all over the place. You know, the one where you pick up your paper and read about the plumber that nutmegged the multimillionaire. Yeah, it's all that sort of stuff. Romance, I think they call it. Is that right?
That's romance, the romance of the cup.
So give us all your thoughts on the Scottish Cup this weekend, whether you're a big team who fancies going all the way and winning the thing, or a so-called wee team who can't believe the draw you've got this weekend. Give us a shout on the usual number. We're talking transfers as well, whether that is Rangers and Celtic, Motherwell, St Mirren, Hearts, Aberdeen, whatever it is. Everybody wants to do business, don't they? So give us all your thoughts, please. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB if you would rather do that. But it's much more fun to do it the old school way on the phones. Speak to Hugh and Scott and let them know what you are thinking. Innes is on the line. How are you, Innes?
I'm alright, gents. Have you got it?
Good, thank you. What made you call tonight?
I was just reminiscing with some old on YouTube, watching the joke. And then I watched a bit of the Man U Southampton game last night, and got me thinking about maybe just looking at Joe Aribo return. Not completely convinced for him, Andy.
Right, the line's a bit ropey, Innes. The line's a bit ropey. I'll see if the producers can have a word, but I could hear it because I've got the benefit of these big headphones. So he was wondering if Joe Aribo could ever come back to Rangers because he's not convinced with Diomande.
No, the answer to that is no, because they can't afford AGs.
Let's start with the kind of general premise of it. And this Diomande, is the jury still out for you, like it is for Innes, or is he being harsh?
I think he's performed well in the European games and in isolation the Celtic game. I just don't think he's found the consistency yet, like many Rangers players and Rangers as a team in general. So I still think there's a player in there. I think you would like to give him more time. As for Joe Aribo, I'd be very surprised if that was to happen.
It's just a fact of life. He's gone to the English Premier League. Southampton won't be in it for much longer, and therefore his future will be back up for consideration. But as Scott rightly said, the wages will be way, way, way out of Rangers League. And why would he want to retrace his steps? He's played here, established a reputation, won a move to the top league in England. Why would he go backwards?
I think if all of it you can do if your career takes a turn and you're out of
Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, I mean it's so different though, isn't it?
It's a different mindset of the English player.
He's still, is it next year? I think it was a 4-year deal Joe Aribo signed in 2022 or whatever. He's played, I think he plays mostly for Southampton this season, doesn't he? He plays. He features in most of the games. I mean, I'm sure it's like 29 appearances or something this season. So I don't know if that would be one. But again, that's just a name that Innes has thrown, so it's hard for you to analyse that properly. But I think at the core of it though, he thinks it's that Diomande is not quite pulling up trees.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I don't think he's been consistent, but I don't think many have. I think if you get a better quality player round about him, you could see maybe a better version of Diomande. But I think Rangers at this moment in time, they're looking at a completely different type of profile of player. Your Joe Aribos, you're probably out of the... In fact, they are out of league in terms of wages and all the things that would come with it.
You got to think cynical. Think dark. It's not happening. It can't happen. It would be illogical.
Are there a couple of players maybe in that Rangers team that do sit on that line in the eyes of the fans? So the fans are absolutely certain they can build a team around Eggerman. They're absolutely certain that he can be part of a resurgence in the future, whether that is a title win or at least a title challenge, or at the very, very least a more credible, you know, points gap than at the moment. Who else would fall into that? Who are the ones that are, you know, definitely there, definitely up to the mark, definitely can be part of that? And then who are the ones... So you think Diomande does fall into that bracket?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. Just
at only this. Just, right,
yeah,
okay. Only just.
Haji, yeah, obviously with his resurgence. The big thing for me, for Haji, is how he's looked after himself when he wasn't in the side and he was playing with the B team, because you don't necessarily have to do that. He kind of took care of himself, and that made him ready for the time that he was then put back into the first team. That doesn't always happen with players who are told they can leave. So his attitude in general for the kind of harshness for me, which he was dealt at Rangers, has been a real positive.
The other thing is Cherny, you know,
loan deal away.
Yeah, and the amount of money he would cost to put on a permanent contract, and that's why you juggle. You see if you can accumulate a certain amount of cash in this window, would it be enough to get Cherny on a full-time contract? That's the juggling act that Philippe Clement has got to perform.
Right, 01419511025 is the number. I don't think we're going to get Innes back. I don't know, the signal in Shawlands must be bad.
Well, I don't know
what's happened there. Happens to the best of us. But give us a call if you want to get involved. Use this opportunity to jump on board. Matt has done the same. How are you, Matt?
I'm okay.
What are you thinking tonight, Matt?
I'm just on the last caller, Ross, was talking about Dessers as the next centre forward. I'm telling you now, like, the boy's a tryer. But a tryer can only do his job if the players run about him do their job as well. Right? But you were, Gordon, you were saying you couldn't remember when something happened with the Rangers game. Mm-hmm. Think of the captain, Tavernier. It's a serial loser with Rangers, right? It's been the captain for years. When Dessers was coming on, I don't know if it was against Aberdeen or something, if you read his lips, he went like, I don't want to swear, but if you read his lips, it tells you what Tavernier was thinking when they brung Dessers on, and it's shocking.
Yeah, I remember that clip. The problem with these ones is you just don't know for sure. I agree with Matt, for what it's worth, it kind of looked like Tavernier looked over, saw Dessers and went, oh, you know. But I've seen other people saying that it's because did Eggerman go off injured at that moment? I think it wasn't the Aberdeen game, this was a few weeks ago. Look, it's hard to know. You then have you misinterpreted a clip?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the danger. I'm not saying Matt has, but I think you need to acknowledge you don't know for sure.
Brendan Rodgers could not be misinterpreted at Dundee on Tuesday because a certain incident took place. And Brendan offered his graphic assessment of that particular incident. But you could not prove conclusively that James Tavernier was referring to Dessers coming on. He could have been talking to a player by his side about something else. Dessers does get service, and Dessers doesn't always make the best of that service.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He scores goals, but sometimes he misses opportunities that are there to be taken, and that's why it looks to me as if he'll always be like that. You won't change that in him. But if someone wants him and the deal is good, Rangers will move him on by the end of January.
So, Matt, would you like to see him stay or not in the January window, Cyril Dessers?
No, because a few months ago, I stayed on the phone and need to get rid of Dessers because he's not a centre-forward for Rangers. The boy's a tryer. But Hugh, if you look at the video with the game I'm talking about, Tavernier was storming right at the dugout and he turns in and he looks, the substitution was Dessers. And your captain, your captain's supposed to be your leader. So no matter if it's a kid on player comes on or non-thingy, you don't degrade the guy.
I don't disagree. I think it kind of did look like that. But until you know for sure, it's because, like I say, and we're now going to pour over a two-month-old video and someone will come on and say, no, I think he was referring to somebody else over his shoulder was going off injured. I don't know if it's helpful.
I'll bow to Scott Allen here because you've been in many dressing rooms where I'm sure that certain players have had a low opinion of other players in the same dressing room.
Yeah, I think that happens from even when you're 10-year-old, you have that. Yeah. The guys who you think, maybe keep the ball away from him because I'll not get it back. For me, if we get to the root of the question in terms of Cyril Dessers being a tryer, I think that the problem is with that Rangers fans are demanding a lot more, and I feel like Eggerman has showed a lot more than that for the chances that Dessers has had throughout the season in big moments. He hasn't taken them in a lot of the away games. Some of the points that have been lost throughout some of the chances are the reason why, for me, I feel the Rangers support has kind of lost its trust in him.
Yeah, thank you to Matt. I think Innes is back. Innes, what do you not like about Diomande? Scott Allen thinks you're being a bit harsh.
I think it's just the inconsistency. Like, you've got some days he plays an absolute blinder, and then just some days he just looks like a touch of football. Like, he just looks lazy.
I quite like myself, I'm a tall guy, I'm a bit Bambi when I'm on the ball as well, but like, it just sometimes looks really bad. And I just think in the middle of the park we need something a bit more consistent, and that's what Joe Aribo gave us. And with Southampton looking realistically that they're getting relegated, potentially maybe not right now, but something this summer you maybe look at for a bit of stability.
He'll be back here when he's 35 and his legs have gone.
I don't think there's any Rangers midfielder who's been consistent. Off the top of my head, who has been consistent. I feel the team as a whole just haven't found that consistency, so that does affect then individual players within that group.
I mean, Nissi, you've seen enough though to think that it could come in the future, or, I mean, I know you've got your Joe Aribo wish list, which I don't think the guys are buying into currently, but what do you mean in Diomande then, in the sense of he's so inconsistent that you want rid of him, or is that...
I think, well, with the scrapping of like the Rangers B team, and hopefully they're going to have that bit of focus on potentially like loaning more players out, he's still quite young. Like, the guy could maybe use a loan just to get more confidence, just to think it's the Rangers jersey at the end of the day. It's a very important jersey to wear in Glasgow.
How much did Rangers sign him for?
With
5 million?
I think a bit less than that, but there's still a decent fee involved.
Interesting. The loan deal, I think if we're being honest, we're looking at for the young Scottish talent coming through to then have that first team experience, and then when they do come back and are around the first team, they're then ready to make the step up. I think with Diomande, again, he'll be on a good wage at Rangers. I just think if you have a more steady, consistent group, which comes from having better quality round about you, you'll see the best in them.
Okay, thank you, Ennis. So 141 951 1025. Let's tell you about this before we go any further. Every day is payday. Sean thought it was a big joke when he got the call, and no surprise, because he won £225,000, and now there's a chance for you to win even more. £250,000 up for grabs next Friday, and you could be our next daily winner of £2,025, because every day is payday. So tomorrow is still on, Saturdays, Sundays, the lot, you could win it. So text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get two entries for the price of one text. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £250, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, no problem for Hugh Keevans. And all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online. Lines close 3pm next Friday, so your chance to win £250,000. But if you enter before 3pm tomorrow, you're in the draw for the daily amount as well, £2,025. So text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are now joined by Callum, who's on the line. How are you, Callum?
Thanks, Darryl. How's it going?
Good here. All good. What are you thinking?
It's just 2 points, really. My first point is a reaction to what Mr. Keevan said about 10 minutes ago about Aribo potentially coming back to Rangers, and that would be a massive backward step for him. I'm just wondering if he shares the same opinion about Kieran Tierney's potential return to Celtic, and if it's a big step backwards and that he shouldn't be doing that.
Kieran Tierney has gone down south, 6 years ago now? And has had his career with Arsenal. He's been to Spain on loan at the Real Sociedad. There's a slightly different context to this. Aribo did well at Rangers and moved down south and is in the formative stage of his career down south. Kieran Tierney, whatever Celtic pay him, he can take the hit. And I know I sound cynical in all matters, but that's the fact of the matter. He's had 6 years down south. He's made a lot of money. He will take a severe drop in wages if he signs for Celtic, but there will be other contingency plans put in place, and Kieran Tierney will make it his business to go back to Celtic if he wants to do so. If he really wants to buy into the whole emotional reunion idea, then he will do it after 6 years down south. Joe Aribo is a different matter.
Is the harsh reality of it, Callum, that, you know, Kieran Tierney's injuries have played a part? Kieran Tierney is in the Arsenal team every week, and part of the reason that he's not has been injuries, then that would be considered a step back. You wouldn't go from playing every week at Arsenal and signing for Celtic, just the way that the food chain works. But, you know, the injuries have played a part, haven't they?
Well, for sure. I'm just glad that there's a difference in opinion between the two, because I share your opinion. There is a big difference between. I just wanted his Mr. Keevan's thoughts and feelings.
Just to pull him up, I don't mind that.
And how did I do in your eyes?
Yeah, very well. I mean, I think it's the right step for him. I think other teams there, it sounds silly, right, because you can't really say that West Ham aren't a good team and the other teams that he's been touted with, but he deserves to come in and play at Champions League level again and give the opportunity to play every time that he's fit.
The other thing with regard to Joe Aribo, the other thing...
Let's move past it. You're right, I mean, Callum asked, but with one random mention of Joe Aribo, imagine you just tune in, like, why are they talking about Joe Aribo? I'm now asking myself that. Let's keep it specifically to Kieran Tierney, Callum, for now. On you go.
Yeah, it's one of me come up and said about... a few weeks ago, we were talking about him. I want him to get his flowers. I want him to get his caps. I want him to get his trophies, his Champions League appearances, his European appearances. I feel that he's went down there. He has accomplished a lot of good things. The Arsenal fans absolutely adore him. I cannot get round why Arteta's refusing to play him. Obviously, it might be a trust issue in terms of the injury record, but he's still the best left back at that club. So if we can get a 27-year-old that's the best left back at the best team in the Premier League just now, that's a massive coup. Celtic, and I just hope that it comes to fruition.
I mean, there's a lot of lifting there, or a lot of Callum's own assessment. People say, I don't think he is the best, and I don't think Arsenal are the best team. But I think, well, there's a whole inverted fullback issue, which, yes, you know, is he suited to that? That's the way football sort of moved on at a crucial time for Kieran Tierney, or Mikel Arteta's thoughts moved on. I think that didn't help, did it?
No, I think the way obviously progressed, how his team played, definitely had an impact in Kieran Tierney. I know when he first went down there, it was the things that made him who he is, that aggression and the bombing forward, and he had that end product of picking guys out with a cross. That's what I still think he does have, but I think he'll be able to really show that if he comes back to Celtic. I think Arsenal was a huge step. He's obviously contributed, Real Sociedad, another big club in Spain, but ultimately, injuries do have an impact. They have an impact in your mentality as a player. They frustrate you. He's obviously down there on his own. And sometimes it's as simple as someone just wanting to come home and have the home comforts and let the football do the talking. Look, again,
I always think about the Scotland-Spain game just as an example of what he's capable of. Yeah. You're not having to go back 5 and 6 years to see that. You know, it's been difficult for him to show it often.
I think Celtic will have to safeguard themselves where this one is concerned as well, because, you know, Kieran, it would be a real big moment for the Celtic fans to have him back at the club, but the club have to make sure that their investment is worthwhile. I think that's why they would initially tried to get him on loan till the end of the season, because they want to assess his fitness.
Yeah,
I don't think that's unreasonable.
I mean, at the same time, though, of course, if you sign someone and they were to be out injured, you know, financially, that's not ideal. But in the bigger picture, it's a guy that came through your academy that you sold for 25 million, yeah, and you're going to get him back. Yeah. If that was the way it works out, I mean, that's not a bad way of doing it. Callum, what do you read into the left-back picture in general? Brendan Rodgers today saying he'll be honest with Alex Valle if his playing prospects are diminished. And is that what we're kind of seeing here, that if Kieran Tierney comes back, then Alex Valle leaves? Is it as simple as that?
I think so. I think Fabregas has shown a lot of interest in him in Como in Italy. So I think there's a pathway for the lad to keep playing football for the rest of the season, as opposed to getting back to the Barcelona reserves. So there's definitely something in it for him if Kieran come back. I think we should keep Greg Taylor on. Because if you take Kieran Tierney's injury record and you say, look, maybe he misses games out of a 55-60 game season, you can still say to Greg Taylor that you're going to start, not come on, you're going to start 20, 25, possibly even 30 games for Celtic because of the injury record of Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, but then of course, what if Kieran Tierney isn't injured? And I know people say, ah, but he always is, but that this might not be the case. He has, but, you know, does Greg Taylor now want to be second choice? Because even if it is that number, say Callum's assessment of 20 games becomes 15, I mean, is that enough? Greg Taylor's been a successful first choice left back for Celtic, won a lot of trophies.
When I look at the triangle, I look at Tierney, that would be good for Celtic, as you say, sold for £25 million and then back at the club. Unbelievable. I look at Taylor and I think done nothing wrong. I think he's a terrific player for Celtic, and I think Celtic would be diminished if Taylor was allowed to go. Alex Baye, done well, but listen, your future probably lies somewhere else.
Thank you to Callum. What about Luke in Maryhill? How are you, Luke?
Good, panel. How are we?
Good here. No complaints. What's on your mind?
Good. I wanted to talk a wee bit about Adam Eder. Mm-hmm. And how I think really the Celtic fan base as a whole should be getting behind him a bit more and backing him and kind of encouraging him to do a bit better in his performances. It's because he is obviously going through a goal drought at the minute, and the way to obviously counter that is not to just diminish the guy on social media and say he's not good enough, he was never quality, we overpaid for him. I just think he's getting kind of a short end of the stick with it, and that he should get encouragement.
Can't agree. This is professional football. You have to make your own way. Celtic paid £9 million for him, and he has to replicate what he did for Celtic while on loan from Norwich. His performances are not good enough. He's playing with Celtic. The amount of pressure that Celtic exert on opposition teams for a £9 million striker to go through 12 games without scoring, he has to get his finger out and do some work.
I've no idea if he reads social media or whatever, if that's what Luke's talking about. But what about as a general concept? I know you're there to be shot at, but generally speaking, if fan criticism becomes counterproductive, but what's the point? You know, back to this notion of supporter. I'm not saying you happy clap at all times, of course not. But in general, but back to Dessers then or whatever as well. Yeah. If your actions are having a negative effect on that player's performance, where's the benefit?
The player needs to find the answer.
The
modern player has to cope with it. The troubled waters of social media. Anybody who says they don't see it, they do. Most players will see it. I think for Adam Eder, if you are going through a goal drought and it's not quite clicking for you, can you tidy up the other part of your game? And that's, I think, a lot of the frustration comes from. Take the goals out of it. I don't think his general play has been of a level where Brendan Rodgers, for instance, all the Celtic fans will be happy with.
I think, you know, it's not a social work department. It's a game of football. And history, Scottish football history, is littered with players who were slaughtered by supporters and ultimately rose above it to be outstanding players at Celtic and Rangers. And I'm sorry, the guy is lumbering and lackadaisical and needs to get going because he's not working hard enough.
Is there a lesson in there then, though, that for those ones who then sort of overcome it, that some of the criticism was wrong and was misplaced and misguided? You know, we keep mentioning it, Nicholas Kuhn. You know, it's a good job that Celtic didn't bin Nicholas Kuhn the way you and other people wanted to, because he's now possibly going to be the player of the year.
But before we get into the supporters about this, it was the supporters who demanded the purchase of Adam Eder in the first place. He came, they're playing Kilmarnock tomorrow. Eder, in the game that won Celtic the title last season, was outstanding at Rugby Park on a night when Celtic were terrific. The fans demanded, particularly after he scored the goal that won the cup against Rangers, they demanded that Celtic push the boat out, and push the boat out they did. Now, if the same supporters are saying 12 games without a goal, it's a Celtic striker, are you kidding me on? They're entitled to that point of view.
Look, you confident he comes good?
I am. That being said about the Killie game tomorrow, personally I would start Kenny. Just to get him a bit of a run out, let him actually have a 90 minutes under his belt.
I think Celtic are entitled, Luke, tomorrow, I think, to have one eye on young boys in the Champions League. And I think that tomorrow you get, with respect to Johnny Kenny, he'll be on the bench, but I think you have to get the side that is close to the one that will play against Young Boys and get something going after the shambles that was Dundee. You have to get something going against Kilmarnock tomorrow that lifts the spirits again.
Thank you very much to Luke. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Big night on Beat the Pundit. Just so much incentive there. I mean, Scott looking for back-to-back wins. Need to get you climbing that table. Hugh, you could potentially move a bit closer to Mark Wilson. Oh. The pundits are all getting very territorial about their place in the league table. Gordon DL still not grasping it.
If I hear him talk about percentages one more time, I'm going to write to the Educational Institute of Scotland.
But he did win last night on a tiebreaker, so let's see what tonight has in store for us. 0141 951 1025. You come on here, you answer some football trivia questions, and you try and win a signed ball by beating Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans. Give us a call before 7 o'clock. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025. It's Scottish Cup weekend. We're looking ahead to that. We're going to be joined by the Clyde Bank manager, looking ahead to a trip to Easter Road. Any other shocks you can see out there on the cards? Give us your thoughts, please, on the fixtures this weekend. The transfer window very much open. We've been talking Cyril Dessers potentially leaving. We've been talking Kieran Tierney, Alex Valle, all that sort of stuff. So if you want to add to that debate, please do. You want to move on to something else, you can do that as well. Rangers fans, it looks like you are closing in on a new defender, Rafael Fernandez from Lille, 22-year-old Portuguese defender. Go and do your research. You get 5 minutes. Get on YouTube. Let me know what you think. And if you'd rather just speak generally, is that the priority area? I think most people would probably say yes, the centre back area. So give us a call, please, and we will do this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. This is Romance of the Cup. I've just glanced at the screen. Tonight's contestant on Beat the Pundit, a Clyde Bank fan.
There you go.
Alan, how's it going?
It's going very well, thank you very much.
Are you going along tomorrow?
Yes, I'm going along.
I got in trouble.
I'm disappointed you're not wearing your scarf, actually.
I know, I'll get him one. We had you one last time, didn't we? A couple of years ago.
Who's your favourite player?
Nicky Law.
Nicky Law.
Low.
And him.
He went the last time, though.
Yeah,
I know.
I was coming down Gobowie Road today, and I thought, I should have brought the scarf. But tomorrow I'm bringing the scarf and my Clyde Bank mug, which says Club Crest, and I'm proud to be a banky.
There we go. Love Alan, what is it, 2,500 tomorrow?
Yeah, it's about 2,500 going.
Incredible,
so,
isn't it?
I really look forward to it. 10 buses leaving for Clyde Bank.
10 buses?
And there's like a 10:30 Clyde Bank Express going. That's the train that everybody's going on in the train.
Can you do it? Can you cause a shock?
Well, I was just looking at the French Cup the other day, you know, fifth-year team beat one of the big ones, Lyon, so you never know.
I did see that, that was wild actually, those scenes after it.
How old are you, Alan, if you don't mind me asking?
50, just about 51.
Right, so you'd be about 26 or so when the new bankies emerged from the ashes.
Yeah, I was.
And that for me is what tomorrow's all about. 25 years ago, there wasn't a Clyde Bank, and the people who have made tomorrow possible bought a name, a license and a badge, and that was all they had. And that's why tomorrow I think is a highly emotional day, because this isn't like the Clyde game. The Clyde game was great and Clyde Bank knocked them out of the cup, but it was at Yoker, and this is a Premiership ground with 2,000 plus Clyde Bank fans there. It is the moment that everyone's waited 25 years for.
It is about as glamorous a draw as you can get, isn't it, Alan? Obviously, but Glasgow's big two sides, you know, but thereafter to go through at Easter Road, that's, you're up there in terms of glamour ties, aren't you?
It was glamour ties, and it looked a bit easier when it was drawn, but not now.
Did you see when it was first drawn, did you think this Hibs lot are a mess, we could maybe do something?
Aye, I did. Not now.
It's changed a bit, hasn't it? They're a bit different now.
They're the only team looking upwards, you know, all the Aberdeens and what have you, Hibs have actually staged a proper transformation.
Mr. Hibs.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, I think.
Are you scared? Are you worried about the Clydebank invasion?
I'm not. Listen, I think Hugh touched on it there. It's amazing. I think especially for the players and managers as well, that it's a big occasion to go through Easter Road. Pitch is brilliant. Obviously playing, I don't know how much Hibs will bring to the game, but listen, if they can stay in the game for a while, make a game of it, it'll be good for them. But I don't see anything other than a Hibs win.
But you're flying in the league, Alan, so I mean that it helps. You would rather that, wouldn't you? You'd rather at least be feeling good about yourself and having a kind of winning feeling. I know you've got some games in hand and stuff in that division.
Yeah, we're still top of the table, but we've not won a game since October in the league. That's only because of the amount of games we've played, to be fair, because we're only on 10, but we're still unbeaten. But it's a tough league. There's so many good teams in it, and there's only been really two games in that league that we've been like coasting. Most of them have just been like one goal victories, and it's a very tight league to play in.
Right, let's see if we can get Clydebank their first victory of the weekend on Beat the Pundit.
If it's me, I'm throwing the game. Heads, I'm lying down.
Hugh Keevan's tails, it is Scott Allen, and it is at the Arts, the Clydebank Derby. We've got Allen against Hugh. So let's give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to so he can't hear us. We've got 30 seconds going on the clock. Going to steal your pen, Hugh Keevans. Alan, you know the drill. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, no bother.
All Scottish Cup themed questions, by the way, and your time starts now. What round of the Scottish Cup has played this weekend?
Round 4.
Who were the last non-SPFL side Celtic faced in the Scottish Cup?
Bucky Sissel.
After Rangers and Celtic, which team have won the most Scottish Cups?
It's Queen's Park.
Borough Briggs is the home to which side playing this weekend? Who famously knocked Rangers out of the Cup in 1987? How many teams are left in this year's competition?
32.
What derby is played on Monday night in the Cup?
Dundee.
True or false, every current SPFL Premiership side has won the Cup at least once?
False.
Okay. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can.
What are you nodding along to?
What was it, Scott?
Jackson 5.
Oh, right.
You've been to see the Bob Dylan film yet?
No, but I've got my...
I knew that was right up your street.
Tuesday, I've got a cinema picked out for Tuesday and a matinee performance.
Nice.
Because Mrs. Keevans won't go near Bob Dylan. She can't stand him.
You're going on your own?
Yeah, I'll need to.
I love that as well.
You're a fan of going to the cinema on your own?
Yeah, I've done it before, yeah.
I'm not sure.
But I've never done it
because
I did live down south for a bit of time
on your own. Yeah, because what I don't, to be fair, I'll go into restaurants or cafes or whatever I'm on all the time, and I know people feel a bit funny about that. I don't know if I would stretch.
I think
the
a
cinema.
Restaurant's more awkward than going to the cinema.
Is it?
Well, the guys in the production
just sit
office
and stare at my phone and eat at the same time like everybody else does.
No, the guys in the production office have fixed me out with a cinema, and you can have a meal in the cinema.
I know which one you mean,
and you can take a wee glass of wine into the cinema.
Now you're talking. That's right up your street.
Timothy Chalamet and me will do Bob Dylan for the rest of the afternoon.
I'd love to be in the cinema and spot Shugster on his own though in the cinema. That would make your day. Anyway, we got very distracted, Hugh. Yep. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. What round of the Scottish Cup is played this weekend?
4th.
Who were the last non-SPFL side that Celtic faced in the Scottish Cup?
Bucky Thistle.
After Rangers and Celtic, which team has won the most Scottish Cups?
Queen's Park.
Borough Briggs is the home to which side playing this weekend?
Elgin.
Who famously knocked Rangers out of the Cup in 1987?
Hamilton Accies.
How many teams are left in this year's competition?
32.
Okay, Alan, how do you think that went?
I've jumped into a quick one of the answers, Adrian Sprott.
This is a very good game, I'll tell you that. If the cup ties live up to this tomorrow, we are in for an absolute treat. If the Clydebank game's like this, Alan, though, I don't know if your heart will be able to take it, because it'll be high scoring. Let's go through them. What round of the Scottish Cup gets played this weekend? It's 4th, both got it. The last non-SPFL side Celtic faced were Bucky. Both got it.
Oh, yeah.
After Rangers and Celtic, which team has won the most Scottish Cups? Queen's Park. Both got it.
Oh,
flying. I mean, don't get me wrong, they've not won it in like 100 years, but it's still them. Borough Briggs is home to which team playing this weekend? Elgin. Both got it.
Wow.
This is an exhibition from two men at the top of their game who famously knocked Rangers out the cup in 1987. Alan knows it. He just dived in on Berwick because that's like the other famous.
That was 67.
So, yeah. Hugh Keevans goes one in front. Hamilton Accies. How many teams are left in this year's competition? I will give him it, Alan, I'm afraid to say. 32.
No, that's fine.
You both got it. However, Alan got one more question.
Uh-huh.
Hugh is one ahead. What derby is... In fact, Alan's got a couple more questions. Alan was fast. Wow. What derby is getting played on Monday night? Dundee. Alan equalises. True or false? This is it. Alan gets this right on a 50-50. He wins it. He sets the bankies up for a potentially famous weekend. True or false? Every current SPFL Premiership side has won the cup at least once. Reminders of your answer, Alan?
I said false. Livingston aren't in the league anymore, aren't they?
Don't worry, Alan, don't tie yourself in knots over the details. You are correct, because Ross County have never won it, but every other team has, and you, Alan, have won on Beat the Pundit. Is that a good omen for tomorrow?
That's a very good omen for tomorrow, but hopefully not as high scoring.
What a performance. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Was that 7? Something along those lines. I can barely keep up. But what a win. Oh, you can't even mind losing to that.
Oh, no.
What did you get? You're like 5 or something and still lost.
Yeah.
Oh, Alan, what a player. What a performer. Remind us, what you train, bus, what is it tomorrow?
Well, me and the missus have got an overnight stay, so I'm driving through.
Staying overnight. Oh, he's doing it right. He is doing it right. Listen, Scott Allen knows one or two night spots in Edinburgh. He can put you in touch.
We're all old romantics in Clydebank.
Is that right? Making a weekend of it.
Don't forget, Alan. Oggy.
Well done, Alan. The sign ball. Sign ball is on its way. Well done, Alan.
Thank you very much.
Fine. What a performance.
That was amazing.
I have sort of lost count. So 1, 2, 3, 4. You missed that one. 5, 6. I think a 7. A 7 for Alan. That's very impressive. Even had time to get the old
is helmets. That as good as it's been for the
there or thereabouts? No, we got someone on a couple of weeks ago who wiped the floor with the pundit and then revealed that they had previously got 10.
Oh, who's the pundit?
Who was that actually? Simon. It was Simon. Right, is this just the Clydebank section of the show? Because Alan was a Clydebank fan, and I believe we can now bring in Clydebank manager Gordon Moffat, who's going to join us on the show. How are you, Gordon? Are you well?
Hi guys, yeah, I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
yeah.
We can hear you loud and clear. What's the kind of feeling right now then? As the manager, the night before this, what are the emotions?
I think probably my main emotion is a wee bit of relief that all the hard work's done now this week, because it's been a very hectic week. You know, welcome, but it has been hectic, and yeah, I'm just having a wee bit of a chill out tonight, and then looking forward to obviously a big day tomorrow. So yeah, we're ready to go.
Can you enjoy it? I mean, obviously there's so much that goes into it, and obviously every football match comes with a certain pressure, and you want to make a good account of yourself. Can you enjoy it?
Yeah, I think I'm trying my best to. Certainly the players are enjoying it. You know, you know what it's like. You know, training's been buzzing this week. You know, really good feel around training. The club's buzzing. You know, so all of that's been great. I think for me personally, yeah, it's a wee bit difficult to enjoy because there's just so much to cram in. Trying to make sure everything's basically ready and the guys are prepared. But yeah, I have enjoyed it, but it's been busy.
How do you? What's the sort of main message then? How much of it is about belief? Because you don't want to like patronise small teams and say, "Oh, you've got no chance." You want to, I'm sure, get the message across that your players need to believe that they can do something. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of said that last night when we did the wee press bit last night, that, you know, for the fans, and I think you touched on it there 10 minutes ago, they deserve this day. This is for them. You know, everybody that stuck by the club and fought for the club, I want them to just really go and enjoy their day, soak in the atmosphere and do all of that. But obviously for us, we've got a job to do, you know, and I mean, I know it's going to be a hell of a tough job. We know we're playing a top quality team, one of the most informed teams in the country. It's going to be tough, but we've got a job to do, and we want to do ourselves justice. You know, I think Alan touched on it there. We've played 21 games this season. We've lost one, you know, so we're used to winning. And so it is a strange dynamic going over there as huge underdogs, I'll be honest. But I just want the guys to do themselves justice, as I've said all week.
I can't believe you overlooked our request last week for Hugh Keevans to walk out hand in hand with the captain as the mascot. Can you imagine that, Scott Allen? The sight of him. Is it too late? Can we pull some strings, Gordon?
Well, I did hear that. I think I said that to you today on the phone, that myself and Gary, my assistant, were in the car at the time. We'd just finished training at Tory Glen, obviously with the freeze last week, and we heard that wee segment, so aye, we were chuckling away in the car.
Do you know
what? We'll put you on the standby list, Hugh.
Do you know what, Gordon? I've got to explain this to you. You know that I am so old that I remember Clydebank playing Celtic at Hampden in the Scottish Cup semi-final. I remember Clydebank taking Rangers to two replays, and they had to finish it all off at Fir Hill. And for me, as I said to Alan, the Clydebank supporter who was on earlier, for me, it's all about emotion tomorrow. You know, for people of Alan's age, certainly for people of my age, people who remember Kilbowie Park, everything about the club, tomorrow is about being in a Premiership ground with 2,000-plus Clydebank supporters there. It's just like having your world back, Gordon.
Yeah, no, you're right, Hugh, and I totally agree. I think it, and I, you know, what you said, they're spot on. I know there will be a lot of people, you know, in all seriousness, there will be a lot of people very emotional tomorrow. Because, as you said, you touched on earlier, you know, 2 decades ago, or 25 years ago, you know, there was pretty much no club, and it was to the bottom of the whole pyramid that we went. So we're working our way back up. You know, we're obviously at tier 6, and to get a day like this, it's phenomenal for them. So I know it means a lot to a lot of people, and as I said, that's why I just want them to enjoy it and let us try and worry about the football side.
I remember a midweek game, Kilbowie, cup tie, replay, Clydebank won, and I'm walking back up the road with my son, and my son said to me, you know, we can have a pint and talk about it. And it was his 18th birthday and I'd forgotten. And that's what it does to you, Gordon. You know, that it's all your memories over the decades, and tomorrow everyone gets their memories back.
Ah, it's fantastic. And as you said, football's in it. It's an amazing sport. I think the Scottish Cup in this country, it's phenomenal what it does. You know, my wife would say she's not a huge football fan, but my whole family's coming over tomorrow. My kids, I've got 2 girls there coming, my nieces and nephews, and pretty much everybody through the staff and the squad's the same. It's going to be a real occasion for everybody just to come together. And, you know, it's good as well for all the families to see, you know, the players and us guys in that sort of arena. And sort of, yeah. There's a lot of sacrifice, you know, at part-time level that the guys have to put in. So it's a wee reward for everybody.
Scott, you know everybody. You know any of the Clydebank players that have been heading
Nicky
along?
Lowe. I know Nicky Lowe really well. Really good football. That was a quick one from me, Gordon, in terms of the football side of it and how you prepare for this sort of opposition. Hibs, obviously, I've seen a lot of Clydebank. I know a few of the players, and you do dominate most games that you do play in that league. How does that look in terms of how you set your team up to play against a side with Hibs, with guys like Martin Boyle with real pace in their side?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a good point, Scott. I think that, our level, we look to try and dominate the ball and territory, and we're used to having a lot of the ball, and as I said earlier, we're used to being favourites in most games. The dynamic of this game is very different. You know, I'm realistic to that. I know we're playing against really good players, some international players. So, yeah, we've also had to tweak some things. We need to be a wee bit more pragmatic at times. However, I still want to try and put our stamp on it. You know, I want to show we can play when it's on to do that. So, our on-the-ball stuff, we want to try and sort of put our stamp on it and make sure we're taking the game to them when we get the opportunity. But we know, and listen, I know there'll be times in the game we're going to have to suffer and we're going to have to be in our half and be very compact and be good in our shape. So when we do have the ball, you know, the message will be we need to be brave and trust each other. And you know, guys like Nicky Lowe, as you touched on there, you know, Nicky's a tremendous player. He's obviously played in that league. You can see in the games at our level how good he is technically. So it'll be guys like that we're looking to just bring that wee bit of calmness to us, and I'm sure he will.
Tell me about the biggest insult of all time from the world's laziest former football manager, Gordon Dalziel, accusing you of slacking because you didn't go and watch Hibs in person last week. I couldn't believe he had the cheek when this guy doesn't. He won't even go off his recliner to go and watch Motherwell, who play 200 yards away, by the way. But anyway, what have you seen of Hibs? What do you make of them?
No, well, that's right, on deal again. We heard that last week in the car, and I was like, I'd done a wee innocent text into Mark to give him an answer for one of the questions, and then end up getting slated off the L. But no, I mean, again, in all seriousness, yeah, we got Hibs have been great with us, to be fair. They had us over at the Killie game just before New Year, so me and my coaching staff, whatever, we saw them in person. They gave us sort of press box seats, so best seats in the house in terms of a view of the football. So we got quite a lot from that. And then we've had an analyst in working for us, and he pulled together a fantastic compilation video that we showed the guys on Tuesday. So we had a lot of footage, and we condensed it right down to 10-12 minutes, because I don't want to overload the guys with too much info, but we wanted to show them some patterns and what Hibs will try and do, at least. So, yeah, we're well prepared, as we do for every game. We'll go over and give it our best.
Brilliant. Well, we wish you well. Obviously, we'll be here tomorrow. We'll be keeping everyone across it. Hope it goes well. And if it does go well, then we'll be speaking to you again, I'm sure. All the best.
Appreciate it, guys.
All the best. Good luck.
There we go, Gordon Moffat, Clydebank manager. And that's a proper cup tie, that. You know, this is why we get excited about this stage of the competition, because it can throw up Clydebank of the West of Scotland Premier heading to Scottish Premiership in form, you have to say, Hibs at Easter Road. So good time to call 01419511025. You can get back to that other stuff that tends to make the wheels turn on this show, Celtic and Rangers and transfers and all that sort of drama, if you want. You want to take a look at some of the other cup ties. Actually, one tonight, Brechin against Hearts. I don't know if anyone would go far enough to suggest that there could be a shock at the hedge. Do let us know if you disagree with that, though. And we'll keep looking at the fixtures tomorrow and all of the other days' big talking points when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That was a nice change of pace on a Friday night. We had Gordon Moffat, the Clydebank manager, joining us on the show. If you watch the live stream, you'll even have been able to see him in his house on FaceTime. The wonders of modern technology there. Really looking forward to that, I have to say, that trip for Clydebank to Easter Road tomorrow. You two are not convinced, and I understand it. I don't think it's unfair to suggest that that might be a stretch too far for a shock tonight. I mean, Hearts are not having a great time. Brechin now of the Highland League. Is it too big a gap?
Yeah, for me, Neil Critchley can't have that on his CV this early into his Hearts career, that he didn't beat a Highland League team.
Everyone will rightly point to Darvel Aberdeen. It's now the ultimate example. Well, a couple that we mentioned and beat the Pundit, but it's the ultimate example in modern times, Scott. But the reason it's such a big deal is because it's so rare. But that's the point, isn't it? Can you get something as big as that again the next season?
I would be very surprised. A lot needs to go wrong for the clubs. Take Hearts for example. A lot would need to go wrong with the performance and the mentality. And I just feel in the games Hearts just have too much.
You know, Hearts are second bottom of the league, and they cannot be going out of the cup to Brechin City. It's as simple as that. When Jim Goodwin suffered what he suffered as Aberdeen manager at Darvel, they allowed him to totter into the next game against Hibs. He took a 6-goal beating at Easter Road, and then they sacked him. I'm not saying that Hearts would sack Neil Critchley if they lost at Brechin, but it would look abysmal on his record to be second bottom of the league and then knocked out the cup by a Highland League team.
Was the worst shock you've ever been involved in, either for or against? Have you been involved in anything drastic?
Nothing drastic.
Not really.
No. Maybe in the Premier Sports Cup, but nothing in the Scottish Cup.
I'm trying to think. Did you, when you were at Celtic, did you play any of the?
Yeah, we played Stranraer, all the type of teams.
I remember that. I was down there working at that, actually. That's one of the coldest I've ever been. Yeah, that's a Ronnie Dyla era, isn't it? Carlton Cole, that sort
Carlton
of team.
Cole,
oh, I remember
yes.
that. Jeez, honestly. That was a classic.
I remember being on the commentary team at Ibrox.
Hugh, could I just interrupt you? Because I've actually got some breaking news tonight, and it's the saddest type of breaking news for shows like this when we're on air. And we always talk legend, icon. The words probably won't do it justice, but Dennis Law has sadly passed away.
Oh my!
At the age of 84, and I'll just probably hand over for you to take it away. This is when you come into your own in many ways. Just how big a loss is that for the Scottish game?
Dennis Law was the first Scottish football icon. Dennis Law was the first superstar. Dennis Law, an Aberdonian, went to Huddersfield as a schoolboy, a frail, bespectacled schoolboy, became of his era the greatest Scottish player of all time, became the only Scottish player, only ever, to win the Ballon d'Or. Manchester United legend, who, while playing for Manchester City, relegated Manchester United with the back heel that everyone remembers. And when the United players get back to the dressing room, Dennis was sitting in the United dressing room at full time. He was so devastated by what had taken place, but had been professional enough to score that goal. His tragedy was that the outstanding player that he was, he never got to a World Cup until it was too late. He got there in 74 when his best days had gone. He was in the twilight of his career. But he was the one that, for people of my age, being a teenager when Dennis exploded onto the scene, he was the one who made you proud to be Scottish. And a wonderful person. I had the honour, and I'll use the word honour, of being the person who was his ghostwriter. I wrote his column every week 50 years ago. And Dennis Law had an opinion about everything, and was not afraid to express that opinion. And he was the most wonderful company. And I mourn his loss, and I use the word advisedly. He was a special person, and I know that pals of ours, like Paddy Creran at Manchester United, how they will be feeling tonight. But all Scottish football should recognise that this is the passing of a true legend.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester United sort of leading the tributes, if you like, tonight. They're the ones that have given a statement from the family, as you might expect. So they say they're deeply saddened to share the following statement. On behalf of the Law family, it's with a heavy heart we tell you our father, Dennis Law, passed away. He fought a tough battle, but finally he is now at peace. We'd like to thank everyone who contributed to his well-being and care, past and much more recently. We know how much people supported and loved him, and that love was always appreciated and made the difference. Thank you. So fairly short, concise, but to the point statement, Hugh. And I think to hear the way you're talking about, I mean, Ballon d'Ors as an example, yeah, that, and I know football's changed and whatever, but to so many Scots, that's like, you can't really comprehend that yeah, level of success.
Yeah. Well, you know, we couldn't comprehend Torino. You know, it just wasn't the done thing in the 1960s. But Dennis went off to Serie A. Everything about him said superstar. Everything about the way he conducted himself, the way he looked, that shock of blonde hair, kind of almost Rod Stewart-like. And he was showbiz, like Rod Stewart. He was a superstar. And, you know, the statue outside Manchester United's ground at Old Trafford, you know, the Rangers fans will be there and we'll pass it by, and we'll pass it by, I know, respectfully. Dennis Law, Bobby Charlton, Georgie Best. The holy trinity of Manchester United. Now, he still had a deep affection for the city of Aberdeen. When he went back there, he was treated in the way that he should have been treated, as a free man of the city. And with the passing of Dennis Law, we have truly witnessed the end of an era, because Dennis was the first and the best superstar that Scotland ever produced.
I mean, still, obviously, Scotland's joint record goal scorer of all time.
Yeah, well, along with Kenny Dalglish. Yeah.
So Kenny Dalglish came along and threatened the record, could only draw level with it, but it still stands, yeah, you know, to this day. And there's a reason for that. You know, so many good players have come and tried and not got to that tally yet.
As I say, his tragedy, or personal tragedy, was that we couldn't get to a World Cup final. We were there in 1958, and then we had to wait for a long time. And in those intervening years, Dennis Law burst onto the scene and became the superstar that everyone knows him to be. But it wasn't until Willie Ormond got us to the World Cup finals in West Germany in 1974 that Dennis finally got to enter that stage. And, you know, we had our moments, but Dennis deserved to be there beforehand. And why we didn't get there is a source of mystery. You know, we had Dennis Law, we had Jim Baxter, we had Billy McNeil, we had the Willie Hendersons and Jimmy Johnsons, and we had fantastic talents, but we just couldn't get to a World Cup final until, in Dennis's case, it was the twilight of his career. But that would be the only regret that you might have, because otherwise the career was absolutely golden.
What did it mean to be a football superstar, the first one that you said? Because obviously that wouldn't have come with the millions that you know that it comes with now.
No. Dennis flogged carpets after his career was over. He was a carpet salesman. You know, it's astonishing. You know, today's players are in a very fortunate position, and Dennis himself, were he still here, would not begrudge them £1 coin of it. But players today of his ilk make themselves enough money to last them for the remainder of their lives. Dennis would still go, and it could, you know, I think from memory, Dennis had 5 children. You know, he did what he could to support the family. That's just the way it was. But in Manchester, an icon. When I went down to Manchester to interview Dennis about the column and so on and so forth, and the way he was treated by the people of Manchester was unbelievable, and you knew that you were in the presence of greatness the minute Dennis walked into the room.
Statues in Aberdeen and Manchester.
Yes,
and maybe tells its own story, doesn't it?
Yeah, as I say, he never left Manchester, or rather, I should say, he never left Aberdeen in his heart. He left physically to go and make a career in English, Italian, and international football. But he never forgot where he came from. And believe me, he was right at home with his fellow Aberdonians, even though he left the city at the age of 15. And when he went back in later life...
How big a deal was that? Because we're now all excited when Aaron Hickey and Lewis Ferguson move, you know, to Serie A. This is, you know, decades ago, generations ago.
Yeah, and he went to that... You know, Italian football now is lovely to look at, but he went in the what they called Catenaccio, the days of Catenaccio, which was basically defence in depth, and you were getting clattered week in, week out, and you had to be brave to survive that. And Dennis had the bravery. He went over there with another, Joe Baker played for England, but he was as Scottish as you and me. And Joe Baker was over there at the same time as Dennis, and you know, the two football players in Italy are called giocatores, and Dennis Law was the supreme giocatore.
Yeah, some kind words from Hugh Keevans on the sad news, very sad news tonight, that Dennis Law, one of the ultimate Scottish football legends, has sadly passed away at the age of 84. If you've got any thoughts, any memories, any tributes, any stories that you want to share, we're here for you on 01419511025. You are still more than welcome to move and talk about the games this weekend or the transfer window. It really is up to you. But just a reminder of that sad breaking news tonight, that Dennis Law has passed away at the age of 84. And we will be back after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. We do have the first of our Scottish Cup fourth round ties about to take place. Is there a shock on the cards? It would be a huge one, you have to say, between Brechin and Hearts. But Brechin at home, which always changes the dynamic slightly. You look at that Hearts team and wonder if some of them have experienced this before. A few recognisable names in the Brechin squad. So we'll see what happens there. But sadly, it is a much more of a sombre note to end the show on tonight, because sad breaking news this evening, the Scottish football legend, icon, probably lacking the words to do it justice, Dennis Law has sadly passed away at the age of 84. Craig has sent a message in to thank you for your kind words, Hugh. So has Paul McNeil sent a message in as well. So yeah, the type of story that will send shockwaves across Scottish football this weekend, you'd imagine.
Yeah, tremendous sadness. You know, Dennis was 84, therefore people will say he's lived a good life. There was talk a few weeks ago that this was imminent. He had struggled, as many footballers do, and Dennis was a terrific header of the ball, and that will reopen that particular debate. He was a panther in the box. And it's just very sad, but believe me when I say this is the end of an era. When Dennis Law goes, it's the end of an era.
Kenny's on the line. How's it going, Kenny?
Hi, yeah, I'm Kenny from Prestwick. Hi, here. Kenny. I'm just, you know, devastated to hear what's happened. I'm really so sorry for you, Hugh, because obviously he's been a great friend and somebody you've known a long time. But for the rest of us that belong to that era, I'm 63, so I've been around a bit, and I remember that World Cup qualifying campaign where we beat Czechoslovakia, and Dennis Law played a big part in that, and we all knew he was getting to that point in his career where he was nearly finished with it. But you know, the big thing about Dennis Law that I remember was that I watched an interview some years ago which just resonated with me. And a lot of the younger players today need to take a leaf out of this book, because the money's overtaken everything, and the importance of being an international. Dennis Law was asked, you know, what was the greatest moment of his career? You know, he'd won Ballon d'Or, he'd been in Italy, he'd won everything in the game, really. And he said the greatest moment of his career was pulling on the Scotland shirt for the first time as an international. And it always will be that. And that's what he said in that interview. And he said, you know, I think he still played with Huddersfield at the time. And he just, that was the attitude. And today, young people, young guys today, they earn far too much money. They're too young. They don't really get it. They don't understand it. And, you know, we criticise them all the time, but they're just young boys, a lot of them. And, you know, we need to take a step back. And it's just a shame that the money has overtaken what the game is really all about for me. And Dennis Law, for me, was the greatest. I mean, I've met Paddy Kerr, and I used to go to Manchester United quite a bit through football connections, and it was just amazing and just so sad to hear about it. And I know it's been a great friend to you, Hugh. I'm really so sorry about that.
Well, thank you. You know, Paddy, I feel for Paddy tonight, because as you'll know, Kenny, once you meet Paddy Kerr, you certainly know you've met him. And Dennis was like that. It was a generation of men who were like that. Jim Baxter, Billy McNeil. They were humble men. Dennis loved being in normal situations with normal folks. He had so much to contend with. You know, Man United won the European Cup in 1968 and Dennis missed the final. You know, Celtic had won it in 67. And Man United played Benfica in the final at Wembley, but Dennis had a knee operation and missed the final. You know, he deserved to be there. He deserved to be at a World Cup earlier than he finally got to one. But for all of the omissions, Dennis gained so much, won so much, and stood head and shoulders above everyone while doing it. So know this, Kenny, that he really enjoyed his life.
It's incredible to think, Kenny, isn't it? You know, for so many generations of Scots, mine included, and you know, others, to think that the best footballer on the planet was a Scotsman.
This with football has been such an issue. I'm very friendly with Gordon McQueen's brother, and he passed away last year with dementia again, with heading the football and whatever. And it's just, and Steve Chalmers, a friend of mine, was the same. You know, it's just awful. I just hope they can find a way around this at some point. You know, footballs are not as heavy now as they were, but, you know, maybe that had contributed. I don't really know. But the point is, I'm very sad.
But I think the last thing you think of tonight, Kenny, and I do take your words on board about Stevie and Frank Coppell and all of those who have gone before, the last thing I'll think about is Dennis Law's hand around the cuff of his shirt, running away, having scored the goal, whether it was for Scotland, Manchester United or anybody else. And that smile on the face and that hair and all the rest of it. An honest-to-goodness superstar.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kenny, for sharing your memories. That was Kenny in Prestwick.
Just quickly, oh, go on, yep. Absolutely greatest. So thank you so much, and thanks for hearing me.
No, here, thank you, Kenny. Thank you. That was much appreciated. Kenny in Prestwick on 01419511025. I think we might struggle to squeeze another one in at this late stage. If, you know, it's one of those nights where things get put into perspective a bit. Some things are more important than football, but... Well, we're here, 6 minutes gone, Brechin nil, Hearts nil. It just looks like a good old cup tie, that, doesn't it? It's just something about you've got the old stadium with the hedge, but then it's got the LED advertising boards, because it is 2025 and it's on the telly, and it's interesting.
I read the chairman, the Brechin chairman, he used an expression. He said they had been handcuffed to the Highland League for the last 4 years, and they were hoping to get out of it. And, you know, we spoke about Clyde Bank earlier on. You know, Brechin, I remember going to games at Brechin where league games were, you know, clubs were under all manner of pressure and they hated that hedge. And but this is their moment in the sun again. You know, that they're playing Scottish Cup, playing a Premiership side live on the telly, and that they're having their moment in the sun.
Yeah, so we'll keep you up to speed on all the cup action across the weekend. Really looking forward to it over the coming days. Hearts looked to get in there, but just fell at the final hurdle. It's going to be hard to look past the bankies for you tomorrow, isn't it, Hugh? As your highlight of the weekend.
Yeah, of course. But as I say, and I hope it doesn't sound, you know, as if you've been condescending. I don't care what the result is. Mm-hmm. I care that Gordon Moffat understands that tomorrow it's about 2,000 people going to Edinburgh. Tonight's about nostalgia with Dennis passing, and tomorrow's about nostalgia for the Bankies fans. Yep. And that's why I said to Alan, the caller who was on earlier, it used to be the chant of the 1970s, Uggy, Uggy, Uggy.
Scott Allen, I'm looking at the fixtures for the Cup, and of course it won't be one of the biggest ties, Dunfermline against Stenhouse Muir, but Dunfermline have a new manager, is Michael Tidzer, who's left you at Kelty. I mean, I'm sure you'll be pleased for him on a personal level. What do you make of that now that it's been the worst kept secret in Scottish football, by the way, but it's now confirmed?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's been quite a long process, especially for us, as obviously I'm still a player at Kelty as well. I think it's a good appointment, really forward thinking. He's got an assistant manager in there, and a guy called Kevin McDonald, who does a fantastic job, and the two of them together have done a great job at Kelty. They recruited all the players through them, gave a lot of debuts and match opportunities to young players who have came in and loan or came through teams like Cumbernauld in the Lowland League. So I'm really excited to see how they do. I think it's a good tie. We've obviously played Stenhouse Muir a few times, so I know everything about Stenhouse Muir. But a young Scottish manager getting a good opportunity at a really good club.
Yep, we wish him well, certainly. There are a couple of all Premiership ties. Ross County, Livingston, they're going to Ross County, that's Championship, but St Johnstone, Motherwell, Celtic, Kilmarnock and the Dundee Derby, as we said. So those are your three all Premiership ties. So you look at, does the draw then open up for others? I mean, there's some that are a bit closer, if you like, you know, Queen of the South, St Mirren, that's not quite Hibs Kelty. I know you're shaking your head, you think St Mirren will win it, but Hibs Clyde Bank, sorry. Hamilton, Musselburgh, there's still quite a gap there.
If the game had been played at Musselburgh, I'd have been tempted.
Right.
But surely at their own place, Hamilton will survive that one. Are you going to, are Motherwell going to Perth in an ambulance? The way things are going.
Incredible injury list. About 1,800 fans going as well, though, so it'll be a big, maybe banging on the door of 2,000. So, listen, loads of good cup ties to look forward to. A real sad end to the show with that news that Dennis Law has sadly passed away. Tomorrow, the Scottish Cup takes centre stage. It is one of our favourite weekends of the calendar, so make sure you join us. We are here from 2 o'clock to go through all the drama, hopefully some shocks in there as well. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Friday.